This conversation will be recorded.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Elise Liebers, and I'm Acting Chair of the Financial Stability and Technical Committee. Thank you for joining us today for this public background session on the IAIS's public consultation on the revised ICPs, Comframe material integrated with ICPs, as well as on the application paper on group corporate governance. This is the second of two background sessions devoted to this particular consultation package. We broke the background sessions into two calls in order to accommodate people from different time zones and to limit the length of the calls. Many of you joined our first call on March 15th, and I want to thank our Financial Stability and Technical Committee Vice Chair, Urs Halbeisen, for leading that call. Both these calls demonstrate the IAIS's commitment to open and transparent standard setting. The presentation slides for this session are published on the IAS website on the Events Stakeholder Events webpage. Slide 2 of the slide deck provides the agenda for today's session. We will pause for questions after I provide a general overview, and then again after the governance-related agenda items, and again after resolution items. Moving to slide 4. In order to provide context for the discussions today, I will start with some background and describe the elements of the consultation package. I will also touch on the new structure of Comframe and say a bit about the timeline. This material will be familiar to those of you who joined the call on March 15th, and I'll try to move through it rather quickly today, but I did want to briefly cover this material for the benefit of those that did not join last week's call. The IAIS launched two consultations on March 3rd. The first relates to the revised ICPs and Comframe materials integrated with ICPs. Since this is the first time stakeholders are seeing the new format, this was released for a 90-day consultation with comments due June 1st. The second is the application paper on corporate governance. This paper was released for a 30-day consultation with comments due by April 3rd. As regards the revised ICPs and Comframe material, the full consultation package includes introduction to the ICPs and Comframe and the assessment methodology, and the remaining materials are organized around four major themes. Those themes are supervisor and supervisory measures, supervisory cooperation and coordination, governance, and resolution. It's these last two themes related to governance and resolution that we will be covering in today's call. When we discuss governance, we'll also touch on Comframe material integrated with ICPs 5, 7, and 8, and we'll also discuss the application paper. When we discuss resolution, we'll discuss both revised ICP 12 as well as the Comframe material integrated into ICP 12. I will call on the relevant working party chairs to lead these discussions. Before giving the floor to Anik Tubner, who is chair, and Michael Newman, who is vice chair of the Governance Working Group, and to Urs Halbeisen, who is chair, and Alex Hart, who is vice chair of the Resolution Working Group, just a few more background comments from me. Moving to slide 5. First, the revised ICPs are presented only in clean versions. This is because the red line versions were, for the most part, not readable because of all the shifted text. In many cases, the concepts are not changed, but the language is simplified or clarified and has taken account of feedback we received from the self-assessment and peer review exercises that were carried out thus far. Any changes in substance will be presented to you later in this teleconference. As regards ConFrame, we have provided a comparison table dated March 9th between the current version and the September 2014 version, which reflects, in particular, feedback that we received from qualitative field testing exercises, notably as regards governance. In general, the ConFrame material has been shortened and duplications with the ICPs have been eliminated. In addition, the IAIS decided to no longer field test qualitative elements of ConFrame and instead will pose qualitative field testing questions to supervisors and volunteers in the consultation process. For example, related to supervisory measures and supervisory cooperation coordination. Typically, the responses to these questions should not contain market-sensitive information that requires field testing confidentiality restrictions, and thus this change should facilitate analysis by the relevant IAIS working groups outside the BIS bubble. Still, as is the case for all our public consultations, IAIS procedures allow stakeholders to choose whether or not to have their comments be made publicly available. Moving to slide 6. Last year, the IAIS decided to integrate the ConFrame-specific material into the ICPs so that overlaps are reduced and so that it's more clear how ConFrame builds on the ICPs. In this regard, the format and structure of ConFrame and its numbering was adjusted to follow the ICPs. ConFrame standards and parameters were merged, making a single level of ConFrame standards. ConFrame standards are outcomes-focused specific requirements for supervisors. ConFrame guidelines were renamed ConFrame guidance. In terms of accessing the ICPs and ConFrame, IT functionalities will allow for access to either just the ICPs only and ConFrame material only, or both at the same time. At a later stage, consideration will be given to how to best integrate the GSI policy measures. Slide 7. I'll wrap up my introductory comments with a few reminders on the timeline for adoption of revised ICPs and ConFrame material. When the revised ICPs were adopted in 2011, they were expected to be implemented with immediate effect. In 2013, the IS adopted a program to again revise the ICPs and decided to integrate ConFrame material with the ICPs. Following these developments, the IS decided that ICPs related to ConFrame-specific material should be adopted at the same time as ConFrame, that is, at the annual general meeting in 2019, unless there is exceptional circumstances that would require the revised ICPs to be adopted earlier. ICP revisions completed before 2019 and endorsed by the Executive Committee will be made available on the IS website as drafts, released for information purposes, but there is no expectation for implementation of those draft ICPs before adoption by the annual general meeting in 2019. I will pause now for any questions from stakeholders.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press *14 on the telephone keypad. Repeat, *14 for questions. No questions.
Okay, thank you very much. At this point, I will turn it over to Anik Tubner to discuss governance-related agenda items. Anik?
Thank you, Elise. A good afternoon or morning or evening, all of you. I will give a short introduction to two documents which the Governance Working Group has developed the past years. First of all, I will give a presentation on the COMFREY material integrated with ICPs 5, 7, and 8. And after that, I will turn to the application paper on group corporate governance. I would like to start with slide 9 now, and I would like to stress that the scope of this consultation of the COMFREY, the governance COMFREY material, is the COMFREY material and not the ICPs. ICPs 5, 7, and 8 were revised and consulted and finally published in 2015. So these texts are for this moment final, and they are published already on the IAIS website, and therefore the ICT text in the documents has been grayed out, so we do not expect any comments on this. We focus on the COMFREY material, which came from the draft COMFREY, the version of September 2014, which were module 2, element 2, and also the first standard of module 2, element 1, which related to the IAIG profile. As profile was a confusing term and seem to overlap with organizational structures, it is included now in the COMFREY material integrated in ICP 7 and relates to the organizational structures. These module 2, element 2, and this first standard module 2, element 1, were field tested in 2014 and 2015. And there were some suggestions for change as an outcome of this exercise, but the most important conclusion of the field testing exercise was that insurers already complied with a high level, to a high level with the field tested draft. This was due to the fact that almost all standards and many parameters, the ICP standards. So there was an extensive overlap between the COMFREY draft of 2014 and the ICP. In addition to these outcomes, it must be noted the ICPs were updated and revised, as I told you, in 2015. And this did not only lead to heightened standards and additional guidance, but also to enhance the concept of groups in the ICP. So the term groups was more better reflected in the ICPs than before. Therefore, the governance working group conducted an analysis to identify what COMFREY should add and could add to the revised ICPs, and in which case you would expect more of IAIGs because of their nature and their complexity. In these cases where we have added COMFREY material, the COMFREY standards do not really add new material to the ICPs, but reflect the higher expectations by elevating ICP guidance to COMFREY standards. As examples, I would like to note COMFREY standard 7.1A and 7.2A, and especially the ComFrame material integrated in ICP-8 on risk management and control functions. I go to slide 10. As I already mentioned, there were overlaps with the ICPs, and there was a new term of insurer in the revised ICPs, and this all led to significantly shorter ComFrame material. Also, the ComFrame material has been shortened because some of the field testing outcomes were already addressed in the revised ICPs. Other reasons for change, also partly mentioned already by Elise, are changes in style and structure resulting from the integration exercise, changes due to outcomes of the field testing exercise, the need to improve clarity or consistency of language, and also the governance working group had a look at other international standards, such as the principles of the joint forum regarding risk management and internal controls, and use those international standards as inspiration for some ComFrame standards or guidance. I go to slide 11. During the drafting of the ComFrame material, the governance working group focused on two main topics, two main questions, you could say. What is necessary to include in ComFrame regarding the complexity and the cross-border nature of the IAI? We have included on this slide a few examples. The first example regarding the competence of IAIG board members, senior management, and key persons in control functions deals specifically with the cross-border nature. These board members and key persons need to have knowledge of the specific features of the jurisdictions where the IAIG operates and the risks to which it is exposed. Second bullet deals specifically with the complexity in groups. And the third bullet focuses on the need to have a good overview of the responsibility, functions, and activities within an IAIG. The second focal point relates to the balance between the legal obligations and interests at the group and the entity level, and the need to ensure, at the same time, adequate coherence at the group level. We mentioned two examples here regarding the structure, the framework for the structure, the business, and the risks of the IAIG, and the annual assessment of the internal control system. Another example of the balance of interest is guidance 7.282, where it is mentioned that the group-wide supervisor should cooperate and coordinate with other involved supervisors to compare the consistency of the interests and the objectives of the IAIG with those of the insurance legal entities. This last part, in fact, is a good bridge to the second document of the governance working group, which is the application paper. So I go to slide 13. This application paper on group corporate governance follows up on the IAIS issues paper on the same topic, which was published in October 2014. In the issues paper, the IAIS described the governance challenges within group and specifically focused on the different challenges of centralized and decentralized governance structures without advocating any structure. The issues paper provided good practices for insurers to solve these challenges, and also included a short paragraph on supervisory assessment of these group structures. The application paper, which has now been published for consultation, focuses on this last topic, namely the supervision of insurance groups. It aims to provide good supervisory practices and examples to address challenges specific to these insurance groups. The purpose of the paper is also to create a common understanding among supervisors on how to assess or evaluate the governance frameworks of insurance groups. When necessary and possible, a distinction has been made between centralized and decentralized governance structures in this application paper. Sometimes different supervisory practices are needed or recommended regarding a more centralized or a more decentralized structure. But again, I would like to stress that where we focus on a specific structure, this does not mean that we prefer one structure above another. This application paper relates to ICP 7 and 8, when we describe the supervision of the corporate governance framework, the board composition, and the supervision of the risk management system. But it also relates to ICP 23 and 25, as the allocation of responsibilities between the group-wide supervisor and other involved supervisors, and the cooperation and coordination between all these supervisors is the main issue when we discuss the supervision of insurance groups. Therefore, the application starts with a chapter on this topic. To be able to provide good practices and to include these in this application paper, the governance working group has collected information via a survey filled out by 29 IAAS members. Lastly, I go to the last slide. I would like to give you a bit more detail on the content of the paper. The application paper is relevant for all insurance groups, but as stated on the slide, it is particularly useful for IAIGs, as these have usually a more complex structure and require more coordination between the group-wide supervisor and other involved supervisors. Therefore, the governance working group, when drafting this paper, focused specifically on the particularities of the supervision for group governance, and not on governance in general. For supervisory cooperation and coordination, three topics are especially relevant. Information exchange, because without that it is difficult to get an overall view of the group. Coordination arrangements, because all supervisors need to cooperate and coordinate. And the impact of the governance structure on the cooperation between supervisors. For instance, the role of the group-wide supervisor may be more important when the group has a centralized structure than when it has a decentralized structure. In the last case, the other involved supervisors may have more information than the group-wide supervisor. We also included the same topics as were included in the issues paper. So we looked at the objectives and the strategies of the group. And as you can also see in the pictures included in the application paper, there are two important elements for this topic. First of all, a clear view and understanding of the objectives and the strategy is important. And secondly, consistency between group and entity level is also very important. When we look at the allocation of board responsibilities, there we see that good allocation and documentation of the responsibilities is important for the supervisor, but also the composition of the board must ensure that the interests of the group and legal entities are taken into account at each level. This last theme is also important for policies and processes for risk management and compliance. And finally, for the control functions, it is important that there is a robust group control function, but also that there is effective communication between the control functions of all levels. Well, finally, I would like to draw your attention to the fact, which was already mentioned by Elise, that the consultation period for this application paper is shorter than for ComFrame, and the consultation period will end on the 3rd of April. I'm now happy to take any comments or answer any questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question now, press *14 on your keypad. *14 if you have any question. We have a first question coming up. Let me go ahead.
Hello. This is David Snyder with the Property Casualty Insurance Association of America. I'm also working with the GIFIA group on governance. We much appreciate this opportunity. Anik, thank you very much for your work. Yes, hello. Thank you very much for your work and that of the group. My question is, we'll make every effort to meet the comment deadline. Can you tell us what the procedure going forward will be for this paper? Do you envision any other consultation opportunities or a discussion at any open stakeholder meeting? And before I conclude, again, I think the flexibility embodied in the centralized versus decentralized approach is appreciated. And we'll have, I think, a number of helpful comments to you. So, again, thank you, and I'm wondering about the process moving forward with regard to the application paper.
Okay, thank you, Dave, already for the comments you announced. We will have a careful look at it. First of all, we will look at the comments and take them into account, of course, in the paper. I am turning to the IAS Secretariat to see whether you have envisaged any stakeholder meeting or other opportunity to discuss this paper with the stakeholders.
This is Grzegorz Komarnicki from the IAS Secretariat. We plan to organize at the later stage the call with stakeholders to discuss the comments received and the proposal for resolution for that. So most likely it will be done via teleconference later this year after we receive the comments and we revise them.
Yes, thank you, Gregor. So that will probably be after summer. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a next question.
Yes, good morning. This is Diana Keegan from MetLife. I wanted to pick up on Dave Schneider's question earlier. And before I do that, thank you again for this information session. It's extremely helpful and very much appreciated. I was just wondering, is there any thought to extending the deadline for the application paper, since it elaborates on, I know ICPs 7 and 8 are not out for consultation, but 25 is. And also, as Ms. Tubna, you mentioned, the application paper is perhaps even more useful to supervisors with IAIGs within their supervision and all the conferring sections that are out for consultations. So I was wondering if there had been any thought given to making the deadlines similar, as, you know, the application paper really relates to comments that we're going to be making on ConFrame and open ICPs, and vice versa. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the question. Unfortunately, the line was very bad, so I have heard only half of it, but as far as I understood, your question was whether we would take into consideration extending the deadline because also the paper also relates to 23 and 25, and therefore I assume you suggested to wait a bit. At this moment, we did not envisage that. I think it will be good to receive your comments within the time frame as indicated. Of course, if it appears that there is a lot of issues which we also relate to 23 and 25, and we could not solve those within the time frame which we have set now, or if it really would affect the paper, we could always consider how to deal with this. At this moment, we think that it does not so impact the paper that we should wait. But if we get comments and it appears to be necessary, we can always consider other timelines.
Thank you. Yes, I'm sorry if you couldn't hear me well. I'm not sure how my line is now, but it was also, especially since the application paper, as you mentioned, relates to ConFrame and the ConFrame provisions, which clearly are out for consultation. And so thank
okay.
you very much.
Yes, I missed that bit. So, yes, of course, it relates to internationally active groups, but of course it doesn't include exactly the same material as ConFrame, because it looks more for practices which supervisors could use. Of course, we have looked at the ConFrame material, at the drafts which are out now. It is possible to have them next to each other, but again, I would say if we get a lot of comments on ConFrame which we think impact this paper, then we could reconsider it. Maybe
Secretary
wants to add something to this?
No, nothing more additional.
Okay, the next question, please. Your line is open. You may go ahead. We can't hear you. So I go to the next question.
Good morning. This is Michelle Rogers with the Mutual Association, or the National Association of Mutual Insurance Companies. And I really appreciate this public background session that you have put forth this morning. Thank you so much. My question is also related to Dave's and to Diane's that have been previously asked, but what I'm curious about more specifically is, will the application, or do you anticipate that the application paper would result in further revision of the ICPs that are being under consultation for the ConFrame integration? Go ahead.
Thank you for your question. I think it will help results so much in rotations of the ICP, because especially it draws especially or relates especially to ICP 7 and 8. Of course, it relates a bit to 23 and ICP 25, but mostly to ICP 7 and 8. And as I explained in my presentation on complementary material, these ICPs have been recently revised, and so we do not foresee any immediate changes. Of course, the world always changes, and there are always new developments, so there may in future be other changes needed, but at this moment I do not think there is any need for change.
So is the impact then of the application paper simply guidance?
Applications papers are always do not provide new standards or requirements. They provide just guidance, just good practices for, in this case, especially for supervisors, how to conduct their supervision or how to deal with specific issues when they supervise insurance groups. So it must be stressed that it doesn't provide any new standards.
Yes, I understood that. I just know that often when an application paper comes up, it can result in changes to the ICPs down the road. And I was curious if that was the plan here or if there was only a plan to stop with the application paper. Thank you.
Well, okay, thank you.
And we do have one last question.
Yes, good morning, good afternoon. This is Robert Neal with the American Council of Life Insurers, and I too would thank you for this opportunity and for the update and reports this morning. I just want to follow up as well on the earlier request from Diana about the extension, and we do appreciate your indication that as needed, you would potentially take more time depending on the responses that you receive. But we, too, would ask, having had a few initial conversations with members, having a number of committees looking at various elements of the consultations that have been put forth, that having a bit more time to respond to the specific paper in light of the other consultations would lead to a more thorough and integrated response, and would simply want to ask that you take that into consideration and consider a bit more time for the responses from stakeholders. So thank you very much again, and we appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Robert. As you already stated, we may have a look at it depending on the comments we get, but maybe I should leave this question more to the IAS Secretariat, how they envisage this process.
Thank you, Annika.
Gregors, do you have anything to add?
Yes, thank you, Annika. I would just like to ask that other that the reason for those different deadlines is that we also organize our work in a sequential way, so we need to differentiate between the deadlines a bit. But my question to you would be, when you refer to extend the deadline a bit, what is for you a bit? I mean, are we talking about 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Just we would appreciate more what you would envisage as let's say, reasonable extension, which would help you to provide comments for us.
Thank you, Gregors. Appreciate that. We ideally had envisioned extension through June 1, given the other consultations and the integration between them. But I believe, additional time, any additional time would certainly be useful.
Thank you.
Well, this is Elise. Perhaps we can take that under advisement and discuss it with the leadership and see if that would be possible. I think for the time being, we should consider the 30 days, which we apply to other application papers, and then we will take your comments under advisement.
Thank you.
There are no more questions at the moment.
Thank you so much, Anique. And maybe at this point, I will turn it over to Urs Halbison to discuss resolution.
Thank you very much, Elise. I would like to welcome you also from the resolution working group. And I am pleased to present you the revised ICP-12 and the ComFrame text integrated in ICP-12. ICP-12 deals exclusively with resolution. Requirements related to recovery have been integrated in ICP-10, which was presented at the background session last Wednesday. The ComFrame text regarding resolution was, prior to this consultation, referred to as Module 3, Element 3. From the resolution working group, who drafted this text, I'm today supported on this call by Alex Hart, Vice Chair, and François Tempe, Draft Lead, who will assist me on answering any questions you may have. I am now going to slide 17, where you see the overview, what we would like to present you today. First, some background information, then we will outline the revised ICP-12. We also would like to point out the major changes from the August 2016 version on which we have requested feedback from interested stakeholders. At the end, we would also like to point out some of the key issues to you. Turning now to slide 18. Let me first explain where we are coming from. The existing ICP-12 is very short, only a bit more than one page, and with only two standards. It does not take into account any of the developments in respect to resolution since the financial crisis. Also, existing ICP-12 only applies to individual legal entities. Although, from a strict legal perspective, liquidations are only possible on a legal entity basis, resolution needs to take into account group considerations. And on ComFrame, there were no standards developed so far. The 2014 published revised draft of ComFrame contains only a placeholder for crisis management and resolution measures among supervisors, which was numbered as Module 3, Element 3. And that's the reason why we are quite often still referring to this old numbering, Module 3, Element 3. In order to develop meaningful and effective standards for a resolution regime for insurers in general, as well as for internationally active insurance groups, we have involved stakeholders already more than a year ago. We have had a first stakeholder meeting focusing on resolution in January 2016. Where the ComFrame discussion concentrated on the requirements in respect to the powers for resolution of insurers. And then in summer 2016, we have sent out a request for feedback to interested stakeholders as well as IAS members. And there we still, at that time, we still had the two different papers with also ComFrame with the old format and called it Module 3, Element 3. So there were still the standards, parameters and guidelines. And then, of course, the initial draft 12. And I'm actually, we were very pleased to see how many comments we received. So it was, we are really happy about your input to that. We have tried to actually take on board as many of your comments as possible. We have discussed them and have tried to integrate it in this new draft. We had then at the end of this period, this request for feedback period, a stakeholder meeting where we again discussed with many of you objectives of resolution, triggers for resolution, actions, resolution powers, recovery plans, and bearing in mind also that a recovery plan and recovery is now in ICP-10, as I mentioned, and group resolution. Now, the last step now is the public consultation, which has been launched a few weeks ago. Turning to slide 19. ICP-12, including ComFrame text in ICP-12, focuses on exit from the market. Both voluntarily exit and forced exit on resolution and resolution. Now, maybe forced exit, this term may sound a little bit strange, but we say in 1208 that supervisory measures and or sanctions may result in an insurer exiting from the market, i.e. involuntary exit from the market. Further, we define resolution as a notion that covers portfolio transfer, runoff, restructuring, and liquidation. The definition shall be incorporated in the glossary at the end, but you find these definitions in the appendix of the ICP-12 consultation. It is also intended that revised ICP-12 applies both on a legal entity basis and a group basis like the other ICPs. I would like to stress that on a group basis does not mean that the group as a whole needs to be resolved. Part of the group can be resolved. Also, we acknowledge that liquidation takes place on a legal entity basis. Now, from a structural perspective, we have tried to structure the ICP in, I would say, chapters, with starting off with voluntary exit from the market, explaining objectives as a resolution of insurers, then planning, then cooperation and coordination with two standards, then triggers, then powers with a long list, giving you a toolbox for supervisors. And we have liquidation with two standards, safeguards, very important with two standards, and then although issues to groups and branches are mentioned throughout the ICP, we have then two specific standards addressing group issues and branch issues, 1212 and 1213. I would like to mention that the ICP 12.1 is solely for voluntary exit from the market. And I would also then mention that context that 12.4 and 12.5, which are dealing with cooperation and coordination, as well as 12.10 and 12.11 safeguards apply to any types of resolution as well as this voluntary exit from the market. I'm now turning to slide 20 and would like to mention the major changes from the August 2016 version. The ComFrame requirements have been integrated into ICPs, and you have heard that already in the introduction by Elise, how that has worked. Then we have the requirements on recovery planning, which are now placed in ICP 10, and those on crisis management are included in ICP 25. Then we have a text on proportional application, e.g. on recovery plans, but also on resolution power, which we have added. That was raised as a concern to several of stakeholders that that should really be integrated. Now, you have to understand that this proportional application actually applies for the entire ICPs, and therefore it actually is mentioned in the deduction, and it should not be duplicated in any ICPs. However, we felt it is important so that we have actually added that specifically in terms of resolution powers in guidance 12.7.1. And then last thing in this here, I would mention about from a term perspective in this ICP, the term resolution authority refers to authorities that are responsible for exercising resolution powers over insurers. Depending on the jurisdiction, this term may include supervisors, other governmental entities, or private persons, including administrators, receivers, trustees, conservators, liquidators, or other officers, or courts authorized by law to exercise resolution powers. And that's the reason why we actually use in this ICP the term supervisor when the standard and guidance involves responsibility and roles of the day-to-day supervisor. We use the term resolution authority when the standard or guidance involves resolution powers and processes after resolution has been instituted. And thirdly, we're using an expression supervisor and/or resolution authority when the standard or guidance involves responsibility for planning and or initiation of resolution. And so we have really tried to distinguish here, also appreciate that the term supervisor and/or resolution authority is rather long. One last point I would like to mention is on the last bullet on slide 20 about the fungibility. Here again, we received some comments, and we recognize that the fungibility has to be adjusted with the insurance capital standard ICS, and therefore we have removed it from the existing ICP text. Going now to slide 21 with the key issues to highlight. First, in addition to questions replacing the ComFrame qualitative field testing as explained by Elise, we have put forward two specific questions for ComFrame 12.7a and ICP 12.12. The 12.7a, that's question 98, which is on temporarily stay early termination rights associated with derivatives and securities financing transaction. Here we would like to have your view, as we say some IS members consider that this power should be available only for IAGs. Other members are of the view that the power should be available both for IAGs and insurers that are neither GSII nor IAGs. Here we'd like to have your thoughts on that. The other specific question is question 119 in respect to ICP 12.12. and that is the group issue where the insurance legal entity belongs to a group and the head of the insurance group is located in the same jurisdiction as the legal entity. Mechanisms are in place through which the head of the insurance group is able to be resolved. That's one trial from our side to address the group issue, but we are aware that in respect of resolution, it's difficult, and when it comes to liquidation, that which that's only available for legal entities. So here, your thought, and if you feel that there would be an additional guidance, would be very welcomed. We all also really like to encourage you to getting responses to the qualitative questions, which the replacement for the field testing. This is especially important for us, as this comframe text has never been published before and has not been field tested in 2014 or 2015. One area which we would also like maybe to highlight for you is in terms of recovery plans, because we know that has been of some discussions in the past. In respect of recovery plan, you have to look in ICB-10, more specifically comframe 10.3a. And here it's recovery plans are mandatory for all IHEs subject to a proportionality principle. Whereas resolution plans, which we are having in ICB-12, are required for IHEs where deemed necessary by the group-wide supervisor. The objectives of recovery plans are different from those of ORSA. And I would like to mention that specifically here, because we had discussion about being as an ORSA sufficient as a recovery plan. Recovery plans need to address all the elements required by comframe. However, a recovery plan can be built upon ORSA, and or ORSA can be integrated in a recovery plan. A proportionality principle applies to all ICPs as mentioned before. What we would like to stress here is that proportional application of the requirements on recovery and resolution planning should be ensured. For example, a recovery resolution plan required for an IHE can be different from that from a GSII. For example, we say in comframe 10.3a, one, the supervisor should consider the AIG's nature, scale, and complexity when setting recovery plan requirements, including the form, content, and details of the recovery plan, and the frequency for updating the plan. With this, I'm concluding my presentation on resolution, and would like to give back to Elise.
Thank you very much, Orz. We'll now take questions on the resolution part of the agenda. Are there any questions for Orz?
No questions. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press *14 on your telephone keypad. Repeat, *14 on your telephone keypad for questions. And we have a question coming up. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Wayne Nauman with the ACLI. Asking whether there's a red line version of ICP-12 in order to easily determine the changes that were made to the prior version that was released in August.
Thank you very much for this question. There is not, and I'm not sure if you're referring, you said about the August version. We have restructured ICP-12 quite a bit, and that's also from the feedback, but also to get a better flow than it was in the request feedback version from last August. And that's the reason why we felt it not appropriate to have provide a track change version.
That was the only question. Again, anybody has a question, press star 14 on your telephone keypad. We have a question coming up. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. Kei Kato of Tokyo Marine calling from Japan. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Building on the previous question, could you be more specific as to what changes have been taken into from last year's informal consultation? What changes have been made specifically by taking into account some of the comments from the previous consultation? Thank you.
Thank you for this question. I think I already highlighted on a few changes, but you also have to understand we had more than 600 individual comments received. And I would say a lot of them we have incorporated in this new draft. However, it was a request for feedback which was sent to IAS members and interested stakeholders, which were defined as the subscriber to our public website in respect of the resolution topic. But it was not a public consultation where we actually then publicly provide resolution of the comments. So from that perspective, I think I have just to point out what I mentioned on the on slide 20. It's the term where we are using, as I mentioned, the word supervisor or resolution authority, because that was one of the comments which we received multiple times, is about the when is it for a resolution authority and when for supervisor. So we tried to actually address this. Then the other one that I mentioned also on the proportion application, here we got concerns on several of the standards about the proportionality principle, here especially on recovery plans and on the way, as well as on the different powers where we had. We appreciate from that perspective that the list of powers looks quite long and maybe comprehensive. It's probably it's not the exclude, but includes all these powers. But this, we understand it as a toolbox, and we still feel that the existing tools, which are actually the only ones mentioned in the existing ICPs, like the runoff and portfolio transfer, are the most prominent ones while resolving an insurer, and that's the reason why we would think that these ones are looked in first. I hope that clarifies a bit, but we don't have any specific list of all the comments which we addressed in the update.
Thank you. May I just ask one more question? Why ICP 1212 was newly incorporated?
About the group aspects.
Yes, that's right.
It was generally, I have to say that ICPs, or most of the ICPs, of the existing ICPs, are applying to insurance groups as well as legal entities. And almost the only one remaining was ICP 12, who in the introduction said that it only applies to legal entities. And we have now made it valid for insurance groups as well. However, we are conscious that in terms of the resolution, groups are different from legal entities, and also when it comes then to liquidation of individual companies, individual entities. And that's the reason which we tried actually to put a standard in from a group perspective where we are addressing also these group issues specifically. That's the reason.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
No more questions for the moment. Anybody with a question, please press star 14. Thank you. No questions coming up.
Well, if there are no further questions, I will thank everyone for joining the session. We'd like to encourage you to take part in the public consultation and provide comments on the package, as this will help to broaden our views and enhance our discussions. With that, I'll end the call for this morning. Thank you very much, everyone.